Glory. Praise the Lord. How is everyone this morning? Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. If you would open up your Bibles to Colossians, you know, we're ministering our way, preaching our way through this epistle. And this is our sixth week in this epistle. And we're going to get into some things this morning, I think, that'll be a blessing to us. The Spirit of God spoke some things in my heart, very explicit, that he wants to deal with this morning. Aren't you glad that God is mindful of what's on your heart? And he always wants to bless you and I. He wants to encourage his children. And so we're going to look at some things. Be sure and come back tonight and bring somebody with you. We're going to talk about tonight about the authority that you and I have being in Christ and what Jesus wants to accomplish in us and through us by that authority. Amen. I think it'll be a special time in the Lord. So be praying about that this afternoon and be coming expecting. But let's read the first 10 verses in this second chapter for a text, if you would. Colossians chapter 2. And let's look at these first 10 verses. Let's start with verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict," now mark that down in your mind's eye, "what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh," so he's talking about me, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together," how? "In love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye, so live ye in or by him." Verse 7, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you, lead you away, seduce you," how? "Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for your presence in the house of the Lord this morning. So I was going to deal mostly with verses 6 and 7, but as I was praying this morning, the Spirit of God said, "I want to do something that is very timely in my children's life." And so I just kind of laid the what I've been praying about and working on in my own heart this week, because it blessed me and it helped me. But then as he showed me how important that this was this morning, I think it'll be an opportunity for you and I to have the Word of God manifest itself in our lives and do some things for us. So I want you and I to concentrate on the reality that the Apostle Paul said, he followed Jesus with his whole heart. And because Jesus had conflict, Paul had conflict. And you and I, we're going to have conflict. But Paul said that even those who hadn't saw me in the flesh, I went through some things to make sure that I got the gospel, I got the epistles, I got the letters of the Lord, those love letters to us. Amen. He got them to us. And so in that, this morning, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants to deal with some things. He said that My children, they're easily deceived by the devil because of emotions. See, the Spirit of God leads you and I into all truth, and the Spirit of God deals with our spirit, but yet you and I, we're still an emotional group of people. God has emotions, but his emotions are sanctified, and we've been ministering on this all year, and you know, we've been talking about the year of release, and so this applies to the theme of this year's message, because you and I, we want to be released from any emotion that would, because see, emotions that are not sanctified by the Holy Spirit, they will not lead you into truth, but they'll lead you into deception, and so we need that. And so here's what he said. The Spirit of God said, some of my children, they are AWOL within the body of Christ. And I thought, AWOL? What do you mean? And he said, I have called every one of my children into a holy calling. And I've gave them a function. And I gave them an anointing. And I've gave them revelation how to operate within that calling, how to let that anointing lead them and guide them. And they're there in their place in body, but they're not there in emotion. And he said, I want to deal specifically with people who have positions of authority. You know, as a dad, as a mom, as a grandpa, as a grandma, as you have authority in your children, your grandchildren's life. And it's very important that you and I not just be there physically in their life, but we're there emotionally with sanctified emotions. See, you and I, we are a product of how we were raised. We cannot help that. We're not perfect. Our parents were not perfect. Our parents' parents, our grandparents, they were not perfect. All of those things. But all of those things have an impact on how you live your life, how I live my life, how we see things. And so in my own personal life, my dad was he was detached from us emotionally. And so in my life, I've got to go in a way of yielding to the Lord, trusting the Lord more than ever, not to allow that to dictate how I act, how I talk, and all of those things, because I was in that mold and I was raised in that form and that fashion. And so what the Spirit of God wants us to do this morning is to help you and I. Somebody is going to receive a healing this morning in your emotions, and you're going to have a newfound place of influence in the body of Christ, in your family, in your community, whatever it might be. And so I want us to stay in that realm and that thought, have an anticipation, an expectancy that the Word of God is going to do something. Amen. Because when you and I hear the Word and we receive it by faith, it will produce. It can't help but produce. And so if you'll just let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning, there's going to be some revelation to you to show you some signs, give you some understanding how you might be emotionally unattached. Now, sometimes you and I, we voluntarily shut off our emotions to keep ourselves from getting hurt. And all those things. And so you've used wisdom and you may have to have done that in the past. But if we're not careful, the devil will come in your life and my life, and he'll want us to keep that door shut. We're with somebody in physical understanding, in being, but we're not there with them emotionally. And you can tell real close. Listen to somebody who's talking to you and listen to what you're saying to them. I listen to conversations and I just tune into it. And you can tell real close whether that person is open to that other person or not. Because most people, can I be honest with you? Most people just talk. They talk surface stuff that does not matter. They tell you all of these things that's on the external. They tell you that, but they won't let you get involved and get into their heart, what's going on inside of their life. And they use these external things to keep you what? To keep a wall, a barrier. And right now we've got those same situations within families. Spending time together is not talking about the weather. Spending time together is not talking about everything that you want in the natural man. you and I, we were called to, we are natural beings, but we're born again. We're supernatural beings, and we're called to lift up Jesus before each other and to bring ourselves together, because it's not just about us. It's about those that we're going to influence, those that we're going to impact. And so Paul here, he's talking about this great conflict. He said, I've went through so much to make sure I get this letter to you. I have fought the devil. I have fought imps. I've been in the place of lions. I've been in the place of all sorts of things that's tried to kill me. I went through a struggle. And so let's look at some things. Notice what he said in verse number one. He said, for I would that you knew what great of conflict, what great fight I have had for you and for them at Laodicea. Laodicea simply means people who are just in their own eyes. We've all got people like that in our life. They justify their actions. They justify everything because they're always right. And as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So let's understand this conflict just a little bit. Hold your place here and turn to where Paul wrote to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, this same agon, same Greek word is used where Paul talks about a conflict, but it's translated fight. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 11, he said, but thou, O man of God, O man, woman, boy, or girl of God, flee these things, what he mentioned before about the for the love of money and all of those things. He said, but follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And when he says follow after, it's going to take some effort, because look at verse 12. Here's that same word that's translated conflict in Colossians 2 and 1. He said fight. You're going to be in a conflict. You're going to have to fight. He said fight the good fight of what? Faith. So in other words, faith is something that is of the spirit. It is not of your emotions. Your emotions is in the soul realm. Your faith is in the spirit realm. And so Paul commanded you and I to renew our mind, which is a part of the soul realm, by the word of God. So every part of my life, every part of your life that we have not renewed that part of it, it's going to be contrary to what God's wanting to do. And so you and I, we've got to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, you're going to be challenged in every part of your life to whether you really believe what you think you believe or not. The devil is going to challenge you. He says, do you really believe that Jesus is Savior? Do you really believe that Jesus is healer? Do you really believe that Jesus is the deliverer? Do you really believe that Jesus can take broken pieces and put them back together? All of these things. And you got to say, I'm going to stand in faith. I'm not going to let what I see or what I feel dictate whether I can have what God says that Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended on high to give me. Amen. And so he said, you're going to have to fight that. You're going to be in a conflict. Now, look, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look where Paul addresses it again. And this is because I don't want you to be discouraged, because if we're not careful, we think that things are going to get easier. But I want to be honest with you. The closer you get to the Lord, and the closer I get to the Lord, and the closer that we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater the conflict is going to be. So we don't want to be in deception, and we don't want to lead somebody else in deception. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered. He's going to pour out his life as a sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, look what he said. I have fought a good fight. I've been in this conflict all of this time. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. You may have just got saved yesterday, or you may have been saved for 50 years. It doesn't matter. You're going to have a battle every day of your life. But you've got to keep the fight. You've got to know that there's a conflict there. And that conflict really is the assurance that you're saved. The devil's not going to fight you if you're not a threat to him. He's not going to waste his arsenal. He's not going to waste his time. He's not going to waste his weapons on someone who is not a threat. Say, I'm a threat. Because of Jesus in you, you are a threat. So Paul said, I started fighting this fight when I got born again. And he said, I'm fighting it all the way till they cut my head off and it rolls down that Roman road. Come on, that he was steadfast in that. He made sure that. And he wanted you and I to know that everything he did it because he loved the Lord, but because he loved people. See, in the spirit, Paul, he had an understanding that what he was doing and the message he was bringing from the Lord was going to touch you in 2023. That means the things that you're doing today, your works are going to have an impact on people's lives. When you work the word, when you let the love of God come out of your life and you're not emotionally detached, but you're emotionally involved in people's lives, it's going to make a difference in their life. Amen. It's going to bring encouragement and strength. Now, this same word here, we won't take time to read it. You make a note of it. But in Hebrews 12:1, it's translated race. You and I, we're to run this race with patience, laying aside every weight and the sin which would so easily beset us. And so what it means is this fight that you're in, this race that you're in for the Lord, it says that there is a great assembly that is gathered, and that assembly is watching what you do, and they're impacted by what you do. So, in other words, all the devil and his imps are watching you stand on the word of God, and they're there to hinder you, but yet all the angels of the Lord are there to be dispatched as you yield and speak the word of God on your behalf. But also there's a cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about that is impacted by what you do. They're cheering us on, amen? And so we need to be in that place, in that position where I know there's going to be a conflict, and I recognize that, but I'm not going to let the devil wear me out. I'm going to let the word of God, I'm going to let Jesus keep me in that place of refreshing. Amen. Now go back and let's look at our text here again. Notice what he said. He said, I'm in this conflict for a reason. Verse number 2, that their hearts might be comforted. Paul said that because the Lord had comforted his heart, that he was going to make sure that he comforted other people's hearts. And so you and I, we want to be in that place, in that position where we let the Lord use us. And the only way we can let him use us is we are not emotionally self-absorbed, and we're not emotionally detached from somebody else. But we say, Lord, I want to be a comfort. I want to be a help. He said that their hearts might be comforted. And what would happen? Being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, the mystery of God. See, Paul talks about the mystery in the book of Ephesians. And the mystery in the book of Ephesians is that you and I are the body of Christ. Isn't that exciting? But the mystery of Colossians is that after we've been revealed that we're the body of Christ, Jesus is the what? The head of the body. He's the head of the church. So the mystery is that Jesus is my head. That means I don't have to go in what I know, what I understand, but I go in the revelation and the understanding that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that he loves with an everlasting love. He loves with a pure love, that he's going to hold my hand through every conflict, every trial, every struggle. And he's going to help me to understand my brothers and my sisters. He's going to help me understand my role. I can be a blessing. You can be a blessing to people. Amen. So hold that in your heart. He said that this conflict is it's going to be where, because you're going to be knit together in love. So what's your life about? What's my life about? Is that we bring the body of Christ together, with Christ being the head, in love. In other words, I'm tied to you. You're tied to me. We're tied to each other. We're tied to this lost community. We're tied to our lost neighbors. We're tied to a lost world, not because we have to be, but because we love them. We love them with an everlasting love like Jesus loved us. And we want to what? We want to pull them to the cross. We want them to see that tomb is empty. We want them to see that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father making intercession. Amen. All of these things. And so he said, you're going to be able to do that. So let's understand that. Go with me and let's look at the Apostle Paul for an example. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. After he gets touched by Jesus on the road to Damascus, it makes this great statement. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. We're looking where the same word is used. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. But Saul, and you and I know him as Paul, he increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now, this word proving, this is that same word that's talking about being knit together. See, when all of a sudden, when you're one with Christ and Christ is one with you, it's not an effort to talk about Jesus. It just comes out of your life. You don't have to worry about pulling up a word here or pulling up a word there. You're not worried about being theologically explanatory. You're talking in love. All you're wanting to do is just to share the same love that Jesus shared with you. And so here, Saul, think about it. He just got saved. He just got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he spent that time alone with the Lord, and Ananias come and laid his hands on him, and all of these things. And in those days that following, all of a sudden, it said he started increasing in strength. Because why? Because his emotions were being put down. They were becoming sanctified, and he was becoming alive in his spirit, and he was increasing by the word of God being brought to him. And he was being fed by the Spirit. See, you and I, we need to throw our commentaries away. Thank God for it if you need it for a certain thing. But God wants to talk to you. He doesn't want you to go and have to get a teaching from man. Because, see, if I tell you something, I'm going to tell you the best I can, but it's going to be from my experience. And that's what man's going to do. But you may not need to hear it from my experience or from the experience what's written down in some commentary. The Holy Ghost may want to show you something that's completely different that will meet you where you're at. But if I don't see it that way, if I just limit the Word of God and say, well, this Scripture only means this, guess what? I'm not being comforted. I'm not increasing in strength. What if Paul had, if he'd had a certain commentary on the Bible, and he sat there those days after the Spirit of God had touched him, his message would not have been unique. You've got a unique message. God wants to speak out of your heart what he's revealed to you, what he showed you. Amen. And so I need to be emotionally attached to the Lord. And if I'm emotionally attached to the Lord, then my emotions are sanctified, and I'm in the place and the position where the Lord can use me to bring unity. He can help me to bring my children up, my grandchildren up. He can help me bring my brothers and sisters up. We can grow up together in the Lord. Amen. Now, think about this just for a minute. He said that he increased the more in the strength. So you gotta stop, and you gotta ask the Lord, Lord, am I stronger this morning than I was this time last year? And if I'm not, then I need to say, Lord, show me what I'm feeding from. Show me what I'm pulling from. And if I'm not looking more like you, if I don't have more liberty, if I don't have, because the Bible says that the more truth that you have, the truth makes you free. And so if I don't have more freedom, then there's a possibility that I think I'm studying the Bible, but I'm not. I'm studying somebody's ideal, somebody's word. And so I want to come back to that truth that makes free, and I want to be increasing. And if I'm not increasing, then I need to what? I need to do something different. If I don't have more joy, if I don't have more peace, because God is a God of increase. And so here Saul is increasing in all of these areas because he's spending time with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we want. So go with me to Mark chapter 3, and let's look out of the mouth of Jesus. And let's see something about how this unity, and how we don't want to be detached, but we want to be unified together, being built together. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus makes this statement. And he's talking about Satan, Beelzebub, and all of these workings of the enemy. And he's talking about they had said that Jesus was casting out evil spirits by the name of the devil. And you and I know that not to be true. But look, for sake of time, look at verse 24. Jesus makes this statement. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, a kingdom cannot stand. Verse 25, and if a house, a residence, an abode, you know, implication here is a family. And if a family be divided, if they're parted, if they're disunited, and if a family be divided against itself, that house, that family cannot stand. Now, what that says in the Greek is they cannot continue in covenant. See, a husband and wife, they have a covenant. They've got a covenant with the Lord. They've got a covenant with each other. And that covenant is that they are becoming one flesh. They're understanding one another. They're growing together. They're not emotionally detached, but God is putting the same desire, the same hunger, the same plan, the same vision, the same goal, and they're working together. Well, it's the same way within the body of Christ. You and I, we want to have the same vision. We want to have the same goal. We want to be working toward the common theme of what God is wanting us to do. Amen? And so to be able to do that, we've got to say, now, wait a minute. If I'm hearing something that is dividing me from my spouse, dividing me from my children, dividing me from my church family, now, is my church family, is my spouse, is my children, are they in sin? No, they're not. So that means that the devil is what? He's wanting to separate me from my role in their life and their role in my life. See, we need each other desperately. No one person knows it all. No one person understands everything. No one one person can stand through everything. God has made us as a body, and He's made us in a place, in a position where we need each other, and we can feed from one another. We can be made strong in that unity. So Jesus says here, come to a place of unity. So go back to Acts chapter 2 this time, and look what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God touched a group of people and everything changed in their life. Acts chapter 2, let's start about verse, 44 or something. Acts 2 and 44, it says, and all that believed were together. And all that believed were together. See, when you and I, when we're believing the same thing, we're together. We have unity. Well, it's all right for us to be in different areas of growth and all of these things, but we need to see that if I'm hearing the word and you're hearing the word, even though we may grow at different levels and different places, the Bible said there, we read in Colossians 2, in verses 6 and 7, that you and I were rooted in Christ. That means that all of my nutrients is not about myself, but it's from Christ. I'm rooted. I'm growing up out of Christ. Amen. And so that's what they're saying here. And they continued steadfastly. It said in verse 42, but 44 said, and all that believed were together and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Don't get sidetracked. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What were they doing? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was unity there. They had everything together. They had things common. They were there to support one another. So you and I, we need to pray for one another. When I'm emotionally shipwrecked, when I'm detached, when things are happening in my life, instead of you saying, boy, he just needs to get over it, I need your prayers. When your brother or sister, when your spouse, when your children, your grandchildren, whenever something's happening, we need to come back to the Lord and we need to say, Lord, how can I help them? I want to break bread with them. You know, and we may not be able to do it physically, but in the spirit, we can say, Lord, what's the prayer that I can pray? That you might touch them in the spirit and you might break the bread. The bread is Jesus. Break Jesus off to them where they can receive what they need, where they can be strong in this situation. Amen. And see, that's what brings people to the year of release, because they're not being held in bondage to their emotions, to their feelings. They're not being held by all of these work of the enemy. Let's think about what happened in the garden. Go with me back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. See, the word of God unites, but the word of the devil divides. Amen. As soon as the word of the devil come to Adam and Eve and they partook of it, look what it says in 3 and 12 and 13, Genesis 3, 12 and 13. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, all of a sudden, there's division there. And division gets them in the emotional realm, and the emotional realm is, it's not my fault. Where are we at today? Turn on your television. Get on the internet, open up a newspaper. It's never nobody's fault. It's not my fault that happened. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to do it. No, the things that I've done it. And you and I have got to come back and take responsibility for it. But see, the devil's word divided them from God and divided them from one another. Remember, God looked at them, that they had come together. And it's the very first time in Scripture God looked at Adam and Eve and he said, "It is very good." Oh, glory! Because they were in unity. But see, the devil come and he started speaking a word here and started speaking a word there. And all of a sudden, Adam's off over here doing what he wants to do. Guys, we can't do what we want to do. We got to do what the Lord wants us to do. We have got to take responsibility, and it's your job, it's my job to be the spiritual leader of the house. And if you don't, and if you're a lady of your own house, then you're the spiritual leader. You're the priestess of your house. So you stand up and you fill in that place, and you know that God's going to lead you and going to guide you. But we've got to take authority over the enemy. All of a sudden, the word comes, and so that word divides them from God, and it gets them back in their emotions. They never deal with this. Even though everything that's happened, we have no inkling here that they ever dealt with this division. So what happens? Turn over to the fourth chapter. See, if you don't take care of your problems is going to come out in your children. We pass on good, we pass on. So you know the whole story here. It's a process of time. It says that the Cain and Abel, that they grow up and they bring their offerings to the Lord. But look at, for sake of time, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. And what did he do? He slew him. See, God had done tried to talk to Abel in the preceding verses, but because that problem that started in the garden with Adam and Eve had never been dealt with, and Cain was a very an emotional person. He was emotionally detached from his brother. He was emotionally attached from his family. He was emotionally attached from the God that loved him so much it would bring a word to him. But since he had that detachment there, he was about what he thought, what he saw, what he wanted. So instead of him changing his offering to God where it would be acceptable, I'm just going to take care of my brother. Have you ever noticed when somebody in the family, I've told this story and it's embarrassing, but it's the truth. When Donna got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was mad. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you just the way it was. I didn't understand. Because it didn't seem fair to me. Why does she get filled and I don't? All about the heart and all about what God's trying to do. God uses situations and circumstances to reveal those things in our lives that otherwise we don't even know is there. God knew what he was doing. When he filled her with the Holy Spirit, it changed our whole family. And she waited patiently on me and distrusted in the Lord and played the role of submission and honored God, and God honored her. And then he answered her prayers and everything went the way that God wanted it to go. See, there's a pattern. But see, if we're not careful, we can allow our emotions, as I did. But she didn't do that. She didn't allow her emotions to become unsanctified. She allowed those situations and circumstances to bring us together. Amen. And so we don't want to pass on the negative. We want to pass on the positive. Amen. And you and I, we can do it. We can do it because God has that ability for us. Now go back to Colossians. And notice what he said. He said, verse number 3, in whom, talking about in Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in Jesus is everything that you need, everything that I need, the treasure of life. Jesus said, I've got the words that are truth, the words that will make you free. I've got the words of life for you. And so in Jesus, I don't have to go to man. I just have to go to Jesus. See, if I go to man instead of going to Jesus, guess what? I'm making an idol out of man rather than the Lord. The Lord wants to teach you. He wants to teach me. And I know, I understand that we got offices within the body of Christ, and thank God for that. But they're going to confirm to you what the Lord's already teaching you. And if they don't, then you don't want it. You cast it down. Amen? So he says, in whom are hid all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And why did he say that? Verse 4. In this I say, lest, or because I don't want any man, any person, to beguile you with enticing words. You know, if we're not careful, we think if somebody's got this big ministry, or they have a presence, whether it's on the internet or on television or whatever, that their words have more weight. The weight is this word. That's the weight. That's the power. Yeah. Thank God for all of those avenues. You and I, we have access to teaching. We have access to the Bible. And we are so blessed. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, I remember when Don and I first got saved, you know, we had this, I wanted every kind of Bible I could get because I wanted to know everything. And we'd save up money and we'd have to buy this Bible and buy that Bible. Now all you got to do is get on the Play Store. Isn't that amazing? You can get anything you need to be able to study the Word of God. But what I want you to see that it's not about what man wants to teach you. It's not about what, because see, either a person's led by the Lord or they're led by the enemy. They're led by the devil. No joke. And so we don't want to be seduced. We don't want to be led astray. And this same word here where Paul says, he said, I don't want you to be beguiled. It's the same word in James chapter 1, down about verse 22, where it talks about you and I, we can deceive our own selves. We can beguile our own selves because if we are not a doer of the word, then we're deceiving ourselves. So, in other words, so many people, they chase a word. They chase a word. And if you're always chasing the word, then you're not manifesting what Jesus wants for you. It's not about that next word. It's about doing what God's revealed to you, what God's revealed to me. If I'll do that word, then Jesus is going to bring the next revelation. He's going to bring the next understanding. It's going to be progressive. But if I'm always chasing the word, I'm opening myself up to deception. Amen? We don't want that. All right. So drop down. I want to read this, and we're going to look at one more verse, and I'll let you go. He said, in verse 8, he said, beware lest any man, that's including ourselves, spoil us. This means to lead you away into slavery. It means to lead you away into the enemy's camp. Beware lest any person seduce you, lead you away through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So I've got to make sure that everything I'm hearing is of Christ, and as I'm processing those things by the Holy Spirit in my spirit, they're coming into my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and I've got to make sure that my soul has been transformed by the Word of God, where I can understand it. If not, then I'm going to be in the place where my emotions is going to keep me on a roller coaster. I don't want a roller coaster. Do you? I want the real thing. A lot of people, they chase revivals. They chase camp meetings. They chase those things because they want a high. I've been to all those things. I've done all of that. And when it was all said and done, I was left empty. Because it's not about the emotion. It's not about the feeling. It's about Jesus himself, this word. Amen. Now, he said, I don't want you to fall into vain deceit. So I want to close with Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at that, where that word is translated a little differently about the old man. In Ephesians chapter 4, look what he said in verse 22. He said, I want you to know that you have to put off, that ye put off the former conversation I don't want you to be led astray. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to go into the enemy's camp, that you put off the former conversation, the former behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful, there it is, the deceitful lust. So any area in your life, in any area in my life that we're still thinking according to the old man, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And so I don't want to do that. I've got to figure out, why am I still thinking this way? Why am I still letting the devil influence me in this way? I've got to change that behavior. I've got to change that. I've got to let my emotions be sanctified by the Word of God. I can't be detached. I've got to be attached to the vine and Him attached to me. I've got to see that I'm planted in Him, where His Word, His truth, His power will come up inside of me. And look what happens. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because I'm putting off the old. I'm starting to think differently. I'm starting to understand differently. See, when I first got married, I thought sex was intimacy. Thank God that you and I, that as we live and as we grow and as we develop, we find out what true intimacy is. Sex is a part of marriage and it's a part of intimacy, but it's not intimacy. Intimacy is something that you and I first learned how to develop with the Lord. And as we develop it with the Lord, then we develop it one with another. Because our emotions are being sanctified and we're not detached. How many times have you seen situations where people, we can do it from a biblical perspective. Look at David's, one of his children. His heart burned. He was in lust for his half-sister, remember? And he wanted her. And the Bible says he loved her beyond measure. But that's what he thought he did. He was lusting for her. But the moment that he went and committed that great sin, when he raped her and he took her, then all of a sudden he said, get her away from me. I don't want her in my sight. See, intimacy brings us together. Unsanctified emotions and trouble of the enemy separates us. Amen. And so we got to realize what Jesus died. He died to put you and I in a place with our spouse, with our children, with one another in the body of Christ, that we can be so close. But we've got to do what He said. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former behavior, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, it'll lead you astray, it'll lead me astray, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And notice what happens, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, this new body, this new understanding, which is after God. It's running the race. It's which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's ours today. It's available to us. And so what we want to do, we want to be in that place, in that position where we stop letting the devil trick us up to do what we've done in the past, to act and react out of the past. We're not going to let emotions dictate our decisions. We're not going to let emotions determine whether we're nice to someone. We're not going to allow our emotions to determine whether we love someone, because love is not an emotion. Love is a state of being. God doesn't just love. God is love. And He has shed abroad His love. He's put it in your spirit, in my spirit. And so now it's not about an unsanctified feeling. It's about a being of reality. That's who we are. We're created in love. We're created to love. And we're created to receive love. Amen? So we want to be able to put these emotions down. I'll close with this thought. This is a true story. Go back with me to 1930. In the oil boom in Texas, and there was a high school football team. You know, Texas, they're crazy about their high school football, even to this day. I mean, you know, they've made series, documentaries, they've made movies about it. I didn't play sports in school, so I could really care less about that. But anyway, they in 1930, this particular team in Texas, they continually lost and lost and lost and lost. Especially the more important the game was, the more they lost. And this team was always controlled by their emotions. And so a guy who supported the team in the school, he was an oil man. He was very wealthy. For the time, he would have been like a billionaire. So he come to the team and he asked the coach of the team if he could address the team. And he said, The coach said, sure. He said, listen, I want to win so bad. He said, if y'all will win this game for me against my my former alma mater that I just despise, he said, I'll give every player on this team a new car. I've got stock in the Ford Motor Company. I've got it all worked out. I'll give you a Ford Coupe. The emotions went crazy. I mean, these young men, I mean, that's all they thought about. So for the next 7 days until that next game, all they did was picture themselves in that car. All they did was talk about what they could do with that car. They were on an emotional roller coaster of what that car represented. Well, all of a sudden, we come around to game time. Well, see, during this whole week, they had been an emotional high about what they thought they were going to get. So when it come to putting to practice the plays of the game, when it come to putting to practice working together as a team, there was no unity there. They lost the game, and they went from an emotional high up here to an emotional low down here. So you and I, we can't be controlled by emotions because they're going to be changing. They're going to be up and down, and emotions will divide you and I. But the Holy Spirit, that love that is shed abroad in our heart, in our spirit, will bring us together. And it'll cause us to be able to work together. And it'll help us to be able to stop the mistakes in our family line and bring a blessing, amen, to one another and to the future generations should the Lord tarry. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. Lord, to the best of my ability, I know it's the foolishness of preaching. And I've tried to share in my limited ability, my limited knowledge. And so I ask you right now that you take this effort and let the Word of God be ministered by the Holy Spirit down in our spirit. And any place that we're in a place of struggle, any place that we're in a place of division, any place that you're wanting to deal with this morning that can bring us closer together and that can bring unity with you and then unity with our family and unity within the body of Christ. Lord, let that be today. Let us take heed to thus saith the Lord. Let every work of the enemy and everything that would be of the old way of life, the old understanding, the old speech, let it be swallowed up and let it be changed. And let us not be led by emotions, but let us be led by the Spirit of God. And let us see that this is a conflict. But let us see that just as Paul had an understanding that there were going to be many people saved because of that conflict, let us see that we can have a harvest that is life and eternal, that is a harvest that the husbandman is patiently waiting for. Or we ask you in Jesus' name. Touch and draw right now and have people leave here edified and encouraged like never before. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am this morning. I want perfect unity. I want to let the Holy Spirit deliver me from anything that would separate me from my brothers and sisters, my spouse, my children, whatever it might be. You know what you're dealing with. I don't know. I don't need to know. It's between you and the Lord. All I know is I heard the Lord say, I don't want you to be absent in other people's lives. And so if you're dealing with a situation where you feel separation from somebody, then bring it to the Lord this morning and let Him touch you and let Him bring unity. Just come by faith and let that word, let it have its perfect work in your life this morning. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you.